In many ways, we were asking the question with the children, where is Jesus? And Jesus on this occasion got covered up with a whole lot of other things, and it's so easy for that to happen in our families and in our lives. But just for a moment or two, I want you to think this morning of a question that was asked by the wise men. We're told in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 2 that the wise men came and they asked the question, where is the one to be born? It was this question here, where is he? Where is Jesus? And I suppose that this morning, what I want you to think about just for a moment or two, the wise men were searching. They were searching for Jesus. And there are many, many people in our world who are searching for a missing piece. I would go as far as to say that the majority of people in our world are searching for something. I still haven't found what I'm looking for and all of that, because people are searching. Let me just draw your attention this morning to a number of, if you like, categories of people who are searching. Or I'll start with this. There are obviously some people who are not searching very hard. There are many who are, but there are some who are not. In fact, you may think immediately of someone in your family or someone very close to you, someone whom you work with, and the last thing that they're actually doing is searching for God. For whatever reason, they seem at this point in their lives to have set God to the side, to have set Jesus to the side, to have set the gospel to the side. They are not searching. They're not particularly interested, we may even go so far as to say. And whenever you maybe invite them to something or say, will you come along to church, they say, look, leave me alone. They're not searching. They're not searching at this point. And what do we do about that? Well, I think we begin in the place of prayer. We need to pray. And we need to come to our Heavenly Father and pray that something would change in that situation. But there's another category I recently came across. There are some people in life who are religious, but they are not searching after God. You know, this is perfectly possible. It's perfectly possible to be a pretty decent person, a pretty good person in many ways, a pretty devout person, a very religious person, and yet not really at heart be interested in knowing God and knowing more about God. I came across an interesting little story that illustrates this in some ways. Recently, I've been reading a little bit about the life of C.H. Spurgeon. And Spurgeon tells of an occasion in his church that they were having a special time of mission, actually. We're having a special time of mission, God willing, in March. And the mission came and the mission went. And there was a particular person, a lady on this occasion, who was asked the question after the mission was over, have you not found Christ? Why was that? Why did you not find Christ? And you know what she said? She said this. She said, sir, I think it's because I didn't really seek him. And you know, there are people like that. There are people who can come to meetings. There are people who can even come to hear the gospel being preached. And yet they're not searching after God. They're not seeking after God. And maybe there are people like that here this morning. And the reason that you have still not found Christ, if I can use that language, is simply because you actually, if truth be told, haven't really sought him. The Bible says, seek and you shall find. Are you really seeking after God this morning, folks? Or are you just playing with religion? Are you just playing with coming to church and doing your little bit and then going on your happy way? That's not the gospel. Are you an example of someone who is at heart quite religious, but not really seeking after God? And those who are genuinely searching. There are those who are genuinely seeking after God. I know I have used this illustration a number of times now recently, but you remember the illustration of, again on this occasion, it happened to be a lady in the New York area who began to pray, "Oh God, come and find me. Oh God, come and find me." And she began to open her Bible and she began to read and to really seek after God, and yet praying at the same time, "God, come and find me." God did find her. God wonderfully saved her and changed her life right around. I'm always conscious, and I want to show you just a book here that I've referred to on a number of occasions. I'm always conscious that there are people, maybe not here, well, maybe there are a few, but maybe more people that you know in your family or a friend or somebody who works with you, and they seem to have a genuine problem with the Christian claims and the Christian faith. If you know someone like that, and if you have a friend like that, and if they are somebody who's willing to think things through, you see, Christianity has nothing to fear from people thinking. There are some people who think that Christians are a bit like those who, the old ostrich who sticks its head in the sand and forgets about all the facts. That is a complete fallacy. That is a myth that the devil actually sows. Christians have always been at the forefront of finding out, what are the facts? What are the facts telling us? Here is a wonderful book by Timothy Keller, The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. I'm not going to spend time on this, but let me read out here the titles of the chapters. You may think of somebody that this fits in. Somebody says, there can't just be one true religion. Someone else says, how could a good God allow suffering? Someone else says, Christianity is just a straitjacket. Someone else says, the church is responsible for so much injustice. Someone else says, how can a loving God send people to hell? Someone else says, science has disproved Christianity. Someone else says, you cannot take the Bible seriously. And they laugh at you. If you know somebody who has ever said something like that to you, or is very dismissive of Christianity, challenge them. If I gave you a book, would you read it? And see where that takes them. Tim Keller, The Reason for God. It's a wonderful book. And folks, that is also why at the mission on the second week in March. And during the second week, God willing, we'll be in here. And the Reverend Albert Baxter will be bringing a gospel message every evening. But before Albert speaks, we have invited a number of special guests to come and either be interviewed or to tell a little bit of their story. The first evening, Hasn't Science Debunked God? Dr. David Glass from the University of Ulster will come and share a little bit about his story. The second evening, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? John Mosey, whose daughter was murdered in the Lockerbie air disaster. She was on the plane. He will come and tell a little bit about how that impacted their family and how, as Christians, they sought to try and work through that. Forget God, eat, drink, and be merry. Come and listen to Jackie Burke as he tells a little bit of his story out of drink and drugs and a whole wild way of life to finding Jesus. Life is so unfair. Come and listen to Michael Davidson, whose father was murdered. They knew who did it. His father was an RUC man. They knew who did it, but they could never get the people. Life is so unfair, so unjust. Come and listen to Michael. He shares a little bit about how, as a Christian, he sought to work his way through that. And where is God in a religious world? Come and listen briefly to Seamus Burke as he tells of his journey from religion to a life-changing experience of Jesus Christ. So folks, this morning, and time has almost gone, but let me say one other thing. Yes, there are many people who struggle with doubts and fears, many people who are not believers, who are searching, but there's a sense in which, and I want to just leave you, go back one, with a little quotation from the one that's on the screen there. I'm not going to look at it, but you can see it in the bulletin. It's very good. But the one I want to finish with is from Roger Carswell, who is a Christian evangelist. And Roger Carswell said this, and I'm finishing with this, but I want you to think about this. He says this: I have given my life to sharing with others the truth about Jesus Christ and the hope he brings. I believe it to be absolutely true. However, at times I have to admit that I too battle with reconciling this message with the reality of the world around us. I don't have an answer for all the whys that I ask and that people often ask me. But I do have a total confidence in the character of God and his words to humankind expressed through the put that up, seeking for God, seeking for Jesus. And here's the thought. If you're a believer this morning, the truth of the matter is, you may not be willing to admit this, but the truth of the matter is that you also have sometimes struggles and doubts and fears and questions. You do. I know you do. And ministers are not immune to those things either. And that's why I put up Roger Carswell, because he's an evangelical Christian. He's an evangelist. And yet he's sharing with us this morning that sometimes we have the questions as well. And we can't understand what's going on. And we live in two worlds, as it were. The world of knowing Jesus and the world of the struggles and the tragedies of life. So folks, where is Jesus? Are you an unbeliever this morning and you're searching for him? I dare you this morning under God, go and begin to really read the scriptures and cry unto God over this holiday period, God, come and find me. Are you a believer this morning and you're maybe struggling? Well, there are many who struggle. Bring it to God and ask the Lord Jesus to make himself even more real to you in the midst of the questions and the struggles and the issues. And he will. He will. And he will strengthen your faith. He will make you into a more mature believer that you might also be able to answer some of the questions that people may be put to you, and even the questions that come into your own heart. Let's pause just for a moment of quietness and prayer, and the singers can maybe come up towards the end of the prayer and we'll finish our service. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you that just like the wise men, we can say, where is the one? Where is he? And Lord, we can, by your grace, we can search the scriptures, we can seek after God, and we thank you for that wonderful promise, seek and you shall find. Lord, come and move in our hearts today. Whether we're believers or whether as yet we're not believers, come and move us, O God. Strengthen our faith and bring us to faith in the crucified, risen Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we worship and remember today. Amen.